Bada, bada boom, sold.
Huh?
Just sold my car on Carvana. Dropping it off and getting paid today.
Already?
What, you still haven't sold yours? You told me about it months ago.
I just...
Is the offer good?
Oh, the offer's great.
Don't have another car yet?
I could trade it in for this car I love.
Come on, what are we waiting for?
Ah, you're right.
Let's go!
Whether you're looking to sell your car right now or just whenever feels right, go to Carvana.com and sell your car the convenient way. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to our OCG Treatment Service Bulletin for November 6, 2015. Today we'll be discussing the therapeutic community. We will discuss the core concepts of the OCG therapeutic community, TC for short, how it should function, the strategies and tools used to implement the TC. We'll look at what the TC should look and feel like when it is functioning correctly. And we'll also discuss common misconceptions about the TC and ways in which it is stifled. We will start by reading a brief tutorial on the OCG TC. The OCG TC is a strength-based therapeutic community. The everyday goal of the TC is compassion, achievement, discipline, accountability, and responsibility. This is achieved through community life based on a social learning model and created in formal and informal settings. The beliefs that are central to the TC hold that a person can change and a group can foster this change. The individual must take responsibility, and going through the motions can be used as a stopgap measure until these beliefs are integrated. The tools used to implement change are subsumed under the following core concepts: behavioral management / intervention, emotional / psychological, intellectual / spiritual, vocational / survival skills, physical / medical. Behavior shaping is achieved through a rigid adherence to a prescribed daily structure, which incorporates and includes and accommodates general meetings, limiting privileges, encounter group, morning meeting, verbal reprimands, learning experiences, behavioral contracts, pull-ups, unwritten philosophies, seminars, and most importantly, positive peer pressure. More specifically, these structured formats utilize single concrete actions or activities, or a combination thereof, in order to achieve the goals of the therapy community. They are including this list, but not limited to written work, clearly defined limits, theater and environmental acts, expressing disapproval through voice intensity, looks and words, restitution to the community, focus on intense feelings, challenge and care frontation instead of confrontation, reduced interaction, the limiting of privileges, role modeling, re-evaluating, tracking one's behavior, peer support and mentoring, instructional tasks, focused attention, incremental reward system, assessment, family, individual, and group counseling, planning and goal setting, peer group reprimands, establishing positive support networks, and stability training. And again, as I stated, it's not limited to those things. The OCG TC will also ask that residents participate in several weekly scheduled therapeutic groups: gender, trauma, anger management, boundaries, and seeking safety. All of these actions and activities take place in a caring, challenging, and respectful atmosphere of structured peer interaction that places a unique focus on relapse prevention, stabilization, post-intervention activities, and social support. Treatment program begins with and continually encompasses assessment, planning, goal setting, and evaluation of one's progress. So that, in a nutshell, is the OCG strength-based therapeutic community. We moved from a traditional TC model to a strength-based model in September of 2007. For those of you who are not aware, the traditional TC was primarily based on the reinforcement of pointing out of the negative behaviors and attitudes of residents, but not equally followed up with positive reinforcement or more than equal positive reinforcement. So primarily, you had at least 80 to 85% of speaking about time spent by staff and other residents on pointing out, speaking to, dealing with negative behavior and attitudes. And maybe 10 to 15% dealt with speaking about acknowledging positive behavior and attitudes. And so it was our intention and our goal to change that and move the TC into a more modern aspect of treatment and focus not only on the negative, but primarily on the positive, while still dealing with the negative behavior and attitudes that addicts will walk in the door with. However, we have found that by reinforcing attitudes and behaviors that we want, by acknowledging them, rewarding them, etc., that we will get a positive outcome, a better feeling person as they move through the treatment process, a person less likely to resort back to their old ways and their old behaviors while going through the treatment process. And we have found that to be a very successful model. Some of the enhancements that we've made to the traditional TC involve five areas. In the behavioral intervention area, we just did the changing of a name. So we used to call the verbal reprimand a haircut, and we changed it to behavioral interventions. And so we have two types of behavioral interventions. We have a global behavioral intervention where we, as a family unit, and at the end of the day, look over the negative behaviors and attitudes that one has been booked for, and we talk about it. And the family members help each other in a global setting. Where more serious intervention is needed, or more pointed intervention is needed, or if there's a pattern of behavior that needs selective addressing, we have what's called the formal behavioral intervention, which happens behind closed doors. And it's more in line with what the traditional haircut used to be. We've amended the phase changes to reflect more of the type of progress we're looking for and the type of things and the criteria that we want clients to strive for in each phase of the treatment process. We no longer do initial interviews, where although the goal was to establish a person's sincerity for wanting or needing help and entering the treatment program, it ended up becoming misguided misused, a tool for humiliation, a demand for an emotional catharsis, which was not the intent of the initial interview. The intent of the initial interview was to establish the sincerity of the person, that they wanted and needed help. So we now do what's called a welcome interview, and it's an interactive process of welcoming new clients to the family, going over the rules, the emergency procedures, who the big brother and big sisters are going to be, something we call the Omega option, where any client, if they believe that they have exhausted all of their available tools within the program to get an issue resolved, and they feel that they're at their wit's end, they can call the director directly without staff intervention to have the issue heard and addressed. The director then can, based on what is presented, determine whether it's something that they need to directly get involved with to resolve the issue, or they can delegate it to the appropriate person for resolution, keeping the director involved in the loop to make sure that it does in fact get resolved and not lost in the weeds, so to speak. So that's what we call the Omega option. The person is informed, the prospective client is informed in the welcome interview of who their counsel will be. And there's also some time taken to learn a little bit about each other. So there's that self-identification between the client, the prospective client who's sitting before us, the four residents, the other family members who are there to provide the information that I previously stated, and now we're talking about things that we have in common as to why you're sitting in front of us or sitting with us looking to get into treatment. Staff conduct and performance. We wanted to eliminate yelling, demeaning comments, humiliation, whether direct or indirect, the use of vulgarity towards clients. We wanted to teach, i.e. physically show clients how to do things rather than just telling them to do things. We want to participate genuinely in the encounter group process. We want to provide information, respond to questions, acknowledging that "I told you so" and "I said so" are not appropriate responses. And we want to, on a daily and weekly basis, acknowledge change that is taking place. Tell the clients the positive change that you notice. And along with that, tied to that acknowledgement, we wanted to give like a weekly certificate ceremony awarding not only those who are progressing in phases, but the person who has the tightest room, the tightest bed, the person who's the resident of the week. So that all falls in line with the strength-based view that we're looking to positively reinforce the client rather than spending our time focused on the negative things that they bring to the table. We're aware of what they are. We deal with them, but they're no longer the focus of our time and energy. We found that to be wasteful. Encounter group is it's the most important group in the therapeutic community. It serves as a safety valve for the environment. Each group may have one or two facilitators. Facilitators should sit at opposite ends of the group. The purpose of the group, and listen carefully here, is a forum where residents can vent their feelings, most of which are not appropriate to vent on the floor. Residents drop slips to be able to encounter another resident or staff. All residents and available staff should attend. The rules of the group should be stated before the group starts. Feelings for staff should be dealt with first, and then resident feelings thereafter. Normally, facilitators do little talking during the group. Their role is to steer, guide, help elicit, and spark the encounters. Encourage group participation. Manage that participation. Manage time and the duration of encounters. Encounter group is an emotional group. It is about feelings, not stories. It is about the here and now. What recent interaction in the community sparked the feelings? Not what historical incident is related to the current feelings, i.e., it is not a therapy group. Residents are allowed and should be encouraged to vent their feelings. Yelling, screaming, and cursing are okay. It is a part of the venting. It is not a robotic process. If there is no venting, especially during the 1 to 8 month member, where are all the pent-up feelings going? It's a question that should be asked. During the course of an encounter, residents may say inappropriate things. They may make attacks on personal dignity. They may make threats, etc. Do not interrupt the encounter. Allow the feelings to come out, but deal with those statements before you move on to the next encounter or before the group ends. Most inappropriate statements or behaviors can be dealt with in the group. It is rare that further discipline is needed outside of the group. An example of such is when the facilitator determines that a direct threat of violence made in the group was premeditated. Residents do not have to sit silent while in group, while giving focus or receiving focus, i.e. the one being encountered. All must sit reasonably respectful. A resident who is receiving focus is expected to give respect to the focus by hearing the person out. This is where the facilitator comes in to ensure that at least, you know, the person has an opportunity to speak about what it is their feelings are and what it's related to, something that occurred in the house. The receiver of focus, when it's time to respond, is allowed to respond in any fashion they choose. They are not limited to monotone robotic accounts, and this should be discouraged. They can defend themselves. The facilitator must establish their own timetable of how long they will give someone to express their feelings, taking into consideration the content of the focus. Example, someone who's getting in touch with or really expressing their feelings would get greater latitude than someone who's just yelling about an incident but not stating any feelings. Sometimes when the floor is open for feelings, no one will volunteer. This is usually anxiety, apprehension, or fear. The facilitator may on occasion have to call out those who drop slips for them to confront their feelings. Deal with dead weight. Dead weight are those who did not drop slips. End of the group. Residents need to use the bathroom, drink water, take care of any personal business prior to the group, not on group time. The only exception is for medical reasons. So those are the general process and guidelines for the encounter group, the most important group in the therapeutic community. Let's look at what the TC should look and feel like when it's functioning correctly. This is what it should look like. You would rarely hear staff. You would only hear the hierarchy in the house as they're going about the business of running the house. If you hear staff predominantly, then that's one of your signs that the TC is not functioning as it should. Because the TC is not about the staff, it is about the residents who live in the house. They are the ones who run the house, and they are the ones that actually make up the TC. And so when we as the staff start to immerse ourselves into it, insert ourselves into the TC inappropriately, the TC starts to sputter. It's like an old carbureted engine that's not getting enough fuel, or the fuel-air mixture is off. It'll start to run rough and miss. And instead of the term we use, running smoothly, it seems to be running erratically. Well, usually if we drill down into that, we can trace it back to involvement of the staff in some way, shape, or form. And so the fix is to pull back as the staff, as a staff team. We pull back and let the residents take over, resume their rightful roles, empower those in the hierarchy with the authority that they need to run the house, resist the desire to control the TC, resist the desire to imprint yourself onto the TC. It is the hierarchy that the residents occupy, starting with the coordinators, the chief, the expediters, the department heads, etc. Those are the ones that are responsible for the running of the TC. Our role as a staff person is to be on the edges, agitate when needed, be like a bumper stop around the curves, drop lugs. And for those who don't know, a lug is a 5 to 10 second piece of information that you state to a client in order to send a message. A lug can be negative in regards to something that you may have heard that a client did, and you drop a lug on them, for example, by saying, "Hey, I heard you were in the books the other day for not making your bed." And you just walk off. There's no conversation. You don't give them an opportunity to respond. That's called dropping a lug. That would be considered a negative lug because it's speaking to a negative behavior. There are also positive lugs. "Hey, I heard you got Resident of the Week last week." Traditionally, lugs have predominantly been negative. It should be our goal that lugs be equal opportunity, because that contributes to the TC being a strength-based TC. So positive lugs have to come into play also. But that's part of the role of the staff in being the TC running as it should, by dropping lugs when needed, where needed, to agitate the hierarchy or to agitate members of the family to do what they need to do to make the TC go. And so sometimes it may appear from our perspective that, you know, something's not right in the house. People aren't pulling their weight. People aren't, you know, doing their responsibilities. And the hierarchy appears to be, you know, not responding well, not doing their jobs appropriately, etc. And the instinct is for staff to come in and take over. Directly or indirectly, overtly or covertly, consciously or subconsciously, we have to resist that. When we see that happening in the house, i.e. what I spoke to about the residents, that just signals us to start agitating. And I know normally when we hear the word agitate, it has a negative connotation. That's not what I mean. Think of it in the terms of the agitator in a washing machine, when it's how it moves the whatever that thing in the middle is called, how it agitates it to wash, you know, to loosen up the dirt in the clothes. That's the type of agitation I'm talking about. We want to get the house moving. So if the younger members are upset at the older members and think they're being hypocrites and they're not doing what they should be doing and they think they can do a better job, then we want to agitate them to step up, speak up, speak out. That's what we want to do. We want to push them. We want to support them. We don't want to do it for them. We want them to do it, but we want to agitate them into doing it. So we do that by dropping lugs. We do that by acknowledging them in evening wrap-up, acknowledging them in morning meeting, having them elaborate on pull-ups that involve older members. So that's the role that we play. We use morning meeting, and in another episode of a treatment service bulletin, I will do morning meeting separately. But we use morning meeting, evening wrap-up, which I'll also do separately, the general meeting, which I will also do separately, house meeting, which I will also do separately. We use those meetings and family gatherings to send our message, speak to what we're seeing, not to fix it, just to tell them what we see, and urge them to take action. And we must be consistent in doing that. And you will know the TC is functioning correctly. The only voices you hear, or not only, but the majority of the time, the voices you hear are the voices of the chief of the house, the coordinators, the department heads, you know, the family communicating during the work structure, the family communicating during the clinical structure. That's when you'll know it's working. And by the way, when we say working, we don't mean whether or not good, bad, or ugly things are going on in the TC. No, that's not how you determine whether or not the TC is working. Because good things can be going on, and the TC is not functioning properly. Bad things and ugly things can be going on, and the TC can be functioning exactly as it is intended to do. So don't be lulled to sleep thinking that it's when things are going good, that's when the TC is doing its thing. It's usually the opposite. When things are going good, your air should perk up. Whatever your definition of good is, by the way, because that's all subjective. But your ear should perk up. Your eyes should widen to see what's really going on. And when it appears that, or when in reality, if, you know, things are happening that are coming to the fore that are, you know, negative things, the behaviors are coming out and the family is getting involved in things they shouldn't be getting involved in, so on and so forth. What we look at is, how is the family responding to that? Are they, you know, debating it with each other by using the tools of the house, whether it's encounter group, whether it's bringing pull-ups in morning meeting, whether it's confronting each other on the floor or care-fronting each other on the floor? Well, what's the difference between confronting and care-fronting? I use the word care-fronting because I always want to keep at the forefront that when speaking to someone, it should always be respectfully, with respect and dignity. And so if you use the word care front, it kind of helps remind you as you begin to talk to them that the person, you want the person to believe that it's coming from an area of care and concern. That's just a thought. So when we see that going on in the family, even if, you know, negative things are coming to the, you know, are rising to the top, they're coming out, if it's the family pressure that's causing those things to happen, then the TC is doing what it's intended to do. If the staff have to do the work, if the staff have to do the digging, if the staff have to do the cajoling, if the staff are the ones that have to drag things out of people, then the TC is not functioning the way it's intended to function. So that also ties into some of the common misconceptions when I talked about the term the TC seems to be running smooth. And that indicates that it's running correctly. And so I'm stating that you should be careful. And that is a subjective term, because what may look like smooth running to one person may not be to another. But from whatever perspective or perception you have that entails smooth running, make sure that your eyes are wide open and your ears are really perked up to ensure that the TC, that the core things of the TC are in fact taking place, that the chief is running the house as he should be, he or she should be. One way to know that is if they get the most slips dropped on them in counter group, then you know the chief is making themselves heard. Whether they're doing it in an appropriate fashion or not is not the case. That can be deciphered in encounter group. That's the tool that the family has to use to address the chief if they believe the chief is power tripping or being disrespectful in the way that he's running the house, etc. That's the family's tool to use to correct the chief. But that's not our job to do. That's the family's job. And again, staff struggle to eliminate that instinct to want to intervene in that fashion, and we shouldn't. The more we intervene, the less we have a TC. So keep that in mind. So I'm going to close this treatment service bulletin on the therapeutic community and its core concepts. And the next one we'll do will be on morning meeting and its purpose and how it should be facilitated. Thank you for listening.
Nah, not quite.
What's up?
Sell my car on Carvana. It's just not quite the right time.
Crazy coincidence. I just sold my car to Carvana.
What? I told you about it 2 days ago.
When you know, you know. You know? I'm even dropping it off at one of those sweet car vending machines and getting paid today.
That's a good deal.
Oh, great deal. Come on. What's your heart saying?
You're right. When you know,
you know.
Sold.
Whether you're looking to sell your car right now or just whenever feels right, go to Carvana.com and sell your car the convenient way. Terms and conditions apply.
2025, are you ready to rock?
Oh, a little help, Dave?
Dave's Killer Bread is ready to rock your January reset with killer taste, killer nutrition, and a sweepstakes to win 3 VIP concert prize packs with round-trip airfare, luxury hotel stay, and much more. Text RESET to 73876 and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Visit DavesKillerBread.com/reset for details.